This is Jim Paris Live, your source for money and political conversation from a Christian perspective. And now your host, the author of more than 20 books, and the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com, James L. Paris.
All right, hello everybody, and welcome to another edition of the broadcast. My name is Jim Paris. I'm the editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com, and we get together live on Sunday nights, and we talk about a little bit of everything. The show used to be limited to money and politics, but tonight we've got a great program lined up for you. We're going to be talking with Dr. Ron Rhodes, who is just a fascinating guy and has written a bunch of books on biblical studies. He gets a lot into debunking the cults, but we're going to focus tonight our discussion with him on the topic of Bible prophecy. And so if you're listening tonight and you've got a question that you've always wanted to ask a Bible expert on the topic of Bible prophecy, you can call in right now. We'll start putting people on hold, 888-287-3316. That's 888-287-3316. All right, a lot of things going on, a lot of things I want to get into before we bring on our guest, which is going to be in about 10 minutes. First of all, if you're someone that has been following my blog on Bible prophecy and survival, you know that we've been touching on the topic of investing in bitcoins. What is Bitcoin? What is a Bitcoin? It is a digital currency, and many people are looking at this as an alternative to the U.S. dollar. And interesting, you can draw any conclusion you want from this, but in the last week or two, the value of bitcoins has tripled. And what I'm doing is I'm taking a small amount of money that I earn, just taking a small percentage of my earnings and putting it into bitcoins. And I just did a video on this, a 45-minute video on bitcoins. It is available over at jimparisbookstore.com if that's something that you'd like to get some more information on. I was a guest this week on Christian Television Network, which is based out of Clearwater, Florida. And I was over there on Thursday to tape my appearance, which is on the topic of my new book, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle. And my interview on Christian Television Network will air this next Tuesday, which I know people listen to this on replay on iTunes, so I'll give you the date. It's February the 19th, and you can watch that on the internet by going to ctnonline.com. My program will air at 10 a.m. Eastern on Tuesday, February the 19th. It may also air at other times as well. You can check all of that out by going to their website, ctnonline.com. Well, tonight, it says on the news here that we have a hard freeze warning right here in Central Florida. So no sailing this weekend, stayed off the boat this weekend, it was too cold. Went down to the marina, though, a couple of times just to kind of check on my boat, check on the lines and all that. I love just walking around the marina. It's a lot of fun. But no going out on the boat this weekend, a little bit too cold. But I guess compared to those of you that listen to us up north, it's not really that bad here. I mean, we're talking about, like today it was in the 50s. I mean, growing up in Chicago, that used to be the kind of weather you'd run around out in the yard throwing a football with your T-shirt off. I mean, it's not that bad, but compared to what we're used to, it is. We want to thank those of you who have been helping us out, and we want to mention this again tonight. One way that you can help us out without even having to send us any money or buy any of our products or services is to just help us the next time you shop over at Amazon.com. And a lot of you are doing this, and I want to thank you, those of you that are, and those of you who haven't yet started doing this, just make a note of this. When you go to Amazon.com, instead of typing in Amazon.com, type in shop.christianmoney.com. That's all you have to do differently. All the products are the same. All of the prices are the same. If you just type in shop.christianmoney.com, it will still take you to Amazon. Like I said, everything's the same. But then Amazon gives us a small percentage of everything that you purchase. They send us a small percentage of that back. And I'll tell you what we use that for. We currently have our Amazon Associates account set up to just give us a credit over at Amazon. And that's what we use to buy books, to do research for programs, for articles. We use that to buy software for the computer. You can buy a lot of stuff now on Amazon, so we've just been taking that as a credit. But it's so easy to do. Bookmark this on your computer. Maybe make a little yellow sticky. Put it in the corner of your computer monitor. If you believe in what we're doing and you want to help us, the next time you go over to Amazon.com, get there by typing in shop.christianmoney.com. I'm also excited to announce on February the 26th, which is a week from Tuesday, I'm going to be rolling out a brand new training program on how to make money building apps. This is really cool. You don't want to miss it. I'm doing a free intro workshop on this a week from Tuesday night. If you want to get in on the free intro workshop, go to jimparisapptraining.com. Jim Paris app with two P's, APP, jimparisapptraining.com. Also, our regular free trainings continue. We've got another one coming up on Tuesday night. Just different ideas we'll give you of ways to earn money using the Internet. And the next free training is this Tuesday night. You can go over there and sign up, jimsfreetraining.com, jimsfreetraining.com. My guest next week will be Sherry Peel Jackson. Now, this is a fascinating story, Sherry Peel Jackson. And I have no idea where this interview is going to go next week, because let me tell you a little bit about her. She is a former IRS agent. She quits the IRS, goes out and starts actually leading a tax protester movement, ends up going to prison. And now she's out of prison. She's a Christian lady. I want to talk to her. I want to find out why she thought that at one point in time she didn't have to pay federal taxes, and if she still thinks that or not after going to prison. I want to talk to her about her experiences of working at the IRS. And I've heard her on some other shows, and she's got some pretty amazing stories to share about what it's like actually working inside the IRS. So that's next Sunday night. We'll be talking with Sherry Peel Jackson. Now, before we get to our guest, I want to share with you the brand new commercial that was just cut this week for my new book. And for those of you that are into the book writing business like I am, and I know a lot of you are students of mine that have gone through my ebook training, one of the big things now with books is that you're supposed to produce a trailer for your book. Yes, just like you produce a trailer for a movie, you're now supposed to produce a trailer for your books. Now, I'm kind of stubborn when it comes to these things. I didn't want to do that. I didn't think I needed to do that, but I kind of gave in because I saw everybody else was doing that. So if you go over to my YouTube channel, if you just go over to YouTube and type in James L. Paris, you'll see the full trailer for my new book. But I want to take a minute here and play for you the audio of this. And this was recorded by my friend Ron Taylor, who's a well-known voice talent out of Dallas, Texas. Take a moment and listen to the audio of my brand new commercial for the book, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle. Here you go.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems. The biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need. How prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com.
All right, there you go. I love that. I mean, this guy has just got an amazing voice. Ron Taylor out of Dallas, Texas. Ron, he's been a friend for 20 years. Thank you so much for helping us out with that voiceover. Just fantastic. Sounds like one of those guys that does the movie trailers when you go to the movies. We just loved how that came out. Anyway, no more delay, no more small talk. It's time to bring on my guest, Dr. Ron Rhodes. And Ron, good to talk to you. It's been a while. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, and how about you?
I'm doing great. It's a little bit cold here tonight in Florida. Now, I have to give you a proper introduction, even though I've known you for, I don't know, 15 or 20 years. You're a doctor, but my producer tells me that you're okay with me calling you Ron on the air.
Oh, absolutely.
Which I've always called you Ron in person. But Dr. Ron Rhodes, he's got a master's in theology, doctorate in theology, author of more than 60 books, millions of books in print. Keynote speaker at conferences around the United States and Canada, on and on and on and on and on, all kinds of radio, TV appearances, et cetera. And your most recent book, if I have this right, is it the book on chronicling the end times?
Yes, the end times in chronological order. And it's a real exciting book. I've been really, really excited about the response we've gotten. And my publisher, Harvest House, their warehouse completely emptied several times, you know, within the first month or two. And so that's a good sign when that happens. And that's not the same thing about me. It's just to say that there's a lot of interest in biblical prophecy today. And to the extent that it helps people to understand the Bible, I'm thrilled.
And for people that want to get Ron's books, his last name is spelled R-H-O-D-E-S, Ron Rhodes. And you can just put that in over at Amazon, and you'll find his author page, and all of his books are listed there, and there's quite a lot of different books to choose from. Ron, why is Bible prophecy so hard to understand? It almost seems like, and you know, as a Bible student myself, it almost seems like it's deliberately mysterious. It's like solving a puzzle. We've got to be, you know, like Tom Hanks, you know, searching for the secret, you know, vault that opens up and gives us the secret. This whole idea of putting Bible prophecy in chronological order, I think, was brilliant, because I would think that would make things make so much more sense once you understood sort of the logical time progression. But why is it so hard for people to understand Bible prophecy?
Well, that's a good question. I think that people do make it a little bit more difficult than they have to. I think that God wants us to understand his word. When he inspired the Bible, I don't think he had in his mind, let me make this complicated so people are not sure about things. I think God wants people to understand the Bible, and a lot of the Bible is prophecy. And I tell you, the one principle that's really guided me and has helped me to do things in chronological order, and it's really just helped me all along, is this: when the plain sense makes good sense, seek no other sense, lest you end up in nonsense. By following that principle, I think prophecy makes a great deal of sense. It's only when people try to read their own meanings into the text that I think it gets a little bit complicated.
Isn't there, though, a lot of symbolism when you start reading the book of Revelation? You've got to really understand a little bit more than what just the plain text is saying?
Well, that's true. There is a lot of symbolism in the book of Revelation, but here's the thing about that. If you had, like, maybe 6 months to study the book of Revelation, I would always tell people that you should spend the first 2 months in the Old Testament. The reason I say that is that most of the symbols that you'll find in the book of Revelation are actually defined in the Old Testament. And so by following the simple principle of Scripture interpreting Scripture, comparing the Old and the New Testaments, it becomes pretty clear what those symbols mean. And what you want to do is to understand the literal meaning that lies behind the symbolic language. And actually, there's a number of cases in the book of Revelation where the symbols end up being defined in the text itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you watch for those textual clues, everything starts to fall into line. But, you know, I think that what you want to do is to make sure that you don't interpret one verse so that it contradicts another verse. And that's a real important thing today, because a lot of people, it doesn't seem to bother them when they've got contradictory, you know, verses. And to me, all the verses of the Bible which deal with a particular topic, whether it's the rapture or the second coming or the Antichrist or whatever, it's all got to be in agreement, because God does not contradict himself.
Very good. Now, we're going to open it up for questions. I've got my own questions, but it's always more interesting getting questions from our listeners. Here's how we do it, folks. If you're new to the show, you can call in with your question live. Although I know a lot of you are listening over computers and iPads and all that, we will give you a chance also to send your question in by email. So if you'd like to send your question in by email, here's the email address, jim@christianmoney.com. jim@christianmoney.com. And so I can find your question, type question in the subject line, because I've got so many emails coming in here, jim@christianmoney.com. Or if you'd like to call in tonight with your question, it doesn't have to be necessarily about Bible prophecy, although that's sort of the theme that I've set for tonight. You can call in with any Bible question, 888-287-3316, 888-287-3316. All right, some questions were already coming in before the show even started, because I posted this on Facebook earlier today. And the first question, and this is a question that I also have, so I'm glad this one came in. Prophecy of the Popes. Ron, are you familiar with the prophecy of the Popes and all of this talk right now with the current Pope resigning and then lightning striking St. Peter's Basilica at the same time he resigned? It sounds a little bit spooky to me. Is there anything to this prophecy of the Popes?
Well, I think they have to be careful about some of that, because there's a tendency to take current events and read them into the Bible. And here's my method, okay? I think that the best method is to read the Bible and find out exactly what it says about prophecy. And then once you have a thorough understanding of Bible prophecy, then you interpret current events. But I think that sometimes people have a tendency to read the current events and then force it into the Bible without actually studying the text of the Bible. I know there's different opinions on this Pope thing, and to tell you the truth, that's nothing new, because all throughout history there have been different viewpoints on how the Catholic Church might tie into Bible prophecy. In fact, I wrote a book on the Antichrist, Jim, and one of the things I had to deal with is the fact that there have been many throughout church history who have claimed that the Pope, or the papacy maybe, is the Antichrist. And so I have done some study in this area, but I guess my feeling is to urge caution. And the reason I urge caution is too often people have a tendency to read something into the Bible and then something else happens in current events that completely contradicts the former current event in terms of how it relates to Bible prophecy. And I have to tell you that atheists and humanists are watching all of this in terms of how Christians respond. And they love to pull this up and talk about this in their articles and their TV shows and radio shows about how those Christians are always, every time something happens in the news, they're saying that that's the direct fulfillment of this prophecy or that prophecy. That's just my opinion.
And the prophecy of the Popes is not a biblical prophecy. I've got that book over here, a Tom Horn book, in my library. But it is interesting to read the book. One might argue that this prophecy, if you kind of look at the prophecy itself, it's not really all specific who the different popes are going to be, but almost in hindsight, people figure out a way that it became accurate by looking at the different descriptions that are given of each of the upcoming popes. But the big deal here is, I guess, this is supposed to be the final pope, if that prophecy is true. And you did write a book on reasoning with Catholics from the Scripture, and there are people, Dave Hunt, who's also a Harvest House author,
yes,
who's gone as far as to, kind of put the Vatican alongside of the Antichrist in terms of the end times and the false prophet and all those sorts of things. In your own understanding of things, is that outside the realm of possibility that be someone from the Catholic Church?
Let me say that Dave is a friend, and I like Dave a lot. In fact, Dave is one of those guys who's just a real trustworthy individual, the kind of guy that he's almost kind of like a grandfather type. And I know that he's come to my defense before, that there's been times when I've been attacked by some reform types or covenant theology types who said some things about my particular prophetic views, and Dave came to my defense, and so I always appreciate him for that kind of stuff. We might have a little bit different opinion on how the Roman Catholic Church ties into prophecy. You are right that I wrote a book called Reasoning from the Scriptures with Roman Catholics, because I think there's a lot to criticize. I think there's an awful lot in terms of prayers to Mary and, your understanding of the gospel that saves and justification and the papacy and the role of Mary and, just a lot of those things. But having said that, I think that the false religion that's going to come about is going to actually be bigger, more broad than the Roman Catholic Church. I think it's going to be something that embraces, all peoples of the world. Certainly the Roman Catholic Church is large, but it wouldn't embrace the entire world and the people of the world. So It could certainly play a role, and I think that Roman Catholics who are alive during that time would be a part of that religion. But I think that false religion itself is going to be much broader, much bigger. And, you know, in terms of, you know, its longevity, I think it's got a short life. This false religion is only going to last a couple of years. Hmm. Why? Because the Antichrist is going to wipe it out. You know, the Antichrist, according to Scripture, is going to use that false religion to unify the world. But once he does that, he's going to double-cross that false religion and destroy it, because now he wants to set himself up as God. He wants the world to worship him. So the only religion that's going to exist at that point will be the worship of him himself. And so, like I said, it's going to be a short-lived religion, but it's going to be very predominant and pervasive for the first part of the tribulation period.
Now, we've got a lot of questions coming in by email. Jim@ChristianMoney.com is the email address for your questions, but we always put callers first. So if you want to call in, jump to the head of the line. 888-287-3316 is the call-in line. You'll talk to our producer, Joy. She'll get your name and your city, put you on hold, and you'll come right on the air. 888-287-3316. Let's take our first call tonight, and we're going to say hello to Marie in Los Angeles. Marie, say hello to Dr. Ron Rhodes.
Hi. Hi, Ron. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, good. I have a question. I hear debates from different Christians as I talk about this. Are we going to be gone before any persecution? Some Christians tend to think that, oh, you know, we'll be raptured before there's any persecution whatsoever. And
pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, yeah. Is that really what you're asking, Marie?
Yes.
Okay, Dr. Ron, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, that is a great question. A lot of Christians do argue about it, and the way that I look at it is I'm going to give you my answer on that, but I'm going to also tell you right up front that I don't think we should put on boxing gloves on that issue, only because once we've been with Christ for 10 billion years in heaven, we're going to feel pretty silly as Christians if we, you know, put on the boxing gloves for arguing about the actual timing of the last 7 years of human history. So it's an important event, but it's not like something we got to fight about. I think that the rapture happens before the tribulation. And I know there are Christians who hold to another viewpoint, and that's okay. But I think there's a number of things that indicate that the rapture happens before that time. I think, for example, that there's not a single verse that mentions the church being in the tribulation in the Old Testament or the New Testament. One of the things you see in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5 and elsewhere is that God has promised to deliver the church from the wrath to come. And that wrath to come, I believe, is the tribulation period. Further, you've got the pattern of God all throughout history. He delivers his people before the judgment falls. The flood is a perfect example. God delivered his people, the believers, prior to the coming of the flood that destroyed the rest of humanity. And so that's my viewpoint on it. If you disagree with me, I still love you guys. And, you know, this is not the kind of thing that we should divide over, but rather we can choose to agree to disagree in an agreeable way.
Well, that brings us to another question here, which is tied in to something on this. Someone's asking about the mark of the beast. And they've got a long email here, but I'm just going to ask you, I'm seeing a couple of points here. Number one is, is the mark of the beast going to be like a computer implanted chip, they want to know, number one. And number two, will you know that you're getting the mark of the beast when you get it? Or could you somehow be tricked into getting the mark of the beast? Like maybe you think it's the newest iPad that they're going to install this computer chip in you and you can listen to music on it, do computer processing right on your wrist, and you learn later you were tricked into taking the mark of the beast. I hear a lot of people asking that. So this person's question is this a computer-based deal, the mark of the beast, and would you know if you're getting it at the time?
Well, I believe that the mark of the beast is something that you can't get by accident. There's going to be a squeeze play by the Antichrist in the middle of the tribulation in which he forces people to receive this mark or they won't be able to buy or sell. The bottom line is that you receive the mark of the Antichrist or the mark of the beast, or you can't eat food. That's the choice that you have to make. And so there's going to be a situation in which a polarization takes place. There's not going to be a middle ground anymore. You're either for the Antichrist or you refuse the Antichrist. And if you refuse the Antichrist, the chances are you'll be a martyr. at the very least, you're going to starve. And what's scary is this, Jim. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but the text of Scripture indicates that once you receive the mark by your own choice, you can't go back on it. God says if you receive that mark, you have now crossed over definitively into a state of being unsaved and will receive the wrath of God. Now, that's kind of a scary thought, because I'm the kind of person who believes that, other than that one verse, I believe that up until the time that we die, we've got the opportunity to turn to Christ for salvation. But during that tribulation period, it seems that if you do receive the mark of the beast by your own choice, that you're definitively, you've crossed the line in favor of the Antichrist and against God, and there's no possibility of returning beyond that point. So I think it's going to be an act of volition. I don't think that anybody can receive that by accident. It could be some kind of a barcode or something like that, Jim, you know, maybe. I certainly think that computer technology is going to make it possible to enforce the mark of the beast. You know, that includes some of the trends towards being a cashless society today. We're using much, you know, less cash than ever. Everything's going electronic. And so that's going to make it easy for the Antichrist to control the world's economy. And I think also, you know, with the modern chips that you can put into, your cell phones and so forth, where you can buy things instantly by just waving it in front of a reader at a store, I think that's going to increase. And so technology makes it all possible, but the actual mark is going to be either on the hand or the forehead.
Yeah, and one of the things I've always thought about is it could be a combination, you know, like you're saying. It could be a physical mark, and then it could somehow have a computer component, you know, that is connected to it. But today, my wife and I, we were shopping over at Dollar General, is near our church. So a lot of times on the way home from church, I'll say, hey, do we need to stop at Dollar General? Because there's certain things we can get in there for like a third of what it would cost, you know, to go to Walmart and buy it. So we go in there, and they now have a deal where at the checkout, if you have a PayPal account, you can actually check out without even using your PayPal card. You just type in your cell phone number and your passcode, and you check out. You don't even have to show an identification or anything.
Wow.
And I was just thinking to myself, and they have it at our Home Depot as well, I was just thinking, you know, if we went to a system like this where there was no more credit cards, no more IDs, you just use a system like this, and then someone wanted to shut you out of that system. I mean, I get, like, panicked emails from people when, like, the IRS garnishes money from one of their levies, their bank account. Now all the money in that one account is gone. Imagine someone having the ability to shut off everything with your finances. I mean, we're not just talking one bank account, but like you're saying, the ability to buy and sell. And what's fascinating about this is when you think about the book of Revelation, written, 2,000 plus years ago, that this could be, the only way this could happen is through these kinds of technologies that we're talking about today. Because if it was all about physical cash, then how could someone enforce you from being able to buy or sell if there wasn't some sort of centralized system through electronic means to be able to go in there and find the name Jim Paris and turn me off so that I can no longer go out and buy and sell? And the physical mark would prevent me from, let's say, having someone else try to go in under their identity and buy something in my name by having that physical code. So I would think that you and I probably agree that the technology is already here for this, which
is
pretty chilling.
That's a very, very good point. And, you know, in fact, I wrote an entire book about the electronics of end times prophecy called Cyber Meltdown. And this book deals with what we're talking about here. One of the interesting things is that the president of Visa, you know, the Visa card, said that within the next 5 years or so, it's entirely possible that if you try to use cash anywhere, you're going to have to pay a surcharge. I found that interesting.
Wow.
You know,
cash is
on the way out.
And I don't know if you saw this. I mentioned this in my recent newsletter. There's a new organization that was formed last year in September of 2012. I've got my newsletter out right here. It's called the Better Than Cash Alliance. And it was formed by Bill and Melinda Gates and the UN and Citibank and the Ford Foundation. And this is about bringing electronic commerce into poorer countries, third world countries, and literally getting away from cash worldwide.
Wow.
under the guise of, like, doing good, you know, doing good as a charitable organization.
Well, you know, it seems like definitely the stage is being set for the future. And one of the things that I often talk about is what I call the convergence factor. What I mean by the convergence factor is that it seems like there's many different prophecies that are converging at a point in the not-too-distant future. In other words, the stage is being set on many different levels for things that will actually take place during the future tribulation period. And so I think that there's no question about the fact that we are living in the end times right now. You know, Scripture, right? Jesus himself, you know, he told us to be accurate observers of the times in Matthew's gospel. And he told us that we ought to, you know, study prophecy so that we would understand when certain prophecies were coming to pass. And so that's why I'm glad that you're doing this kind of show, you know, Jim, and some of the material that you're putting out. We just got to get the word out about what's really going on in the world.
Yeah, absolutely, and we're glad to have you with us. We're going to take a break here. Ron, this is a four-minute break, so you can get up and stretch your legs. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, more phone calls for Dr. Ron Rhodes, and we'll be taking email questions. Some of the questions coming up, someone wants to know about the meteor that hit Russia last week. Someone wants to ask about Russian aggression, Syria, Obama in the end times, / Antichrist. We'll ask about that. Your questions for Dr. Ron Rhodes, jim@christianmoney.com, or go to the head of the line by calling in right now, toll free, 888-287-3316. Your questions live for Dr. Ron Rhodes, 888-287-3316. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in 4 minutes with more of Dr. Ron Rhodes. Hi, this is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website christianmoney.com. If you are interested in learning some new strategies for generating online income, check out my free training schedule at jimsfreetraining.com. That's jimsfreetraining.com. Whether you're just looking for part-time income or to build an internet business that can replace your full-time job, check out this free online workshop coming up this week. Register now at jimsfreetraining.com. The workshops are free, but are each limited to just 250 people. So take a minute now and reserve your space for my next free online workshop. That's jimsfreetraining.com. jimsfreetraining.com. Are you tired of hearing how the economy is doing so badly and how there are no opportunities? This is Jim Paris, and I want to share with you an opportunity that I first learned of a little over a year ago, right here in my own neighborhood. I was out walking my dog and saw someone cleaning a foreclosed house. And I struck up a conversation with them and actually found out that there is a business opportunity of cleaning out foreclosed homes for the banks. And these people don't make pennies. In fact, some of them make as much as $1,000 to $1,500 for 1 day of cleaning out foreclosed houses. Now, what's really neat about this opportunity is that the foreclosure crisis isn't going anywhere. So this is an opportunity that's going to be around for years to come. It's an interesting business opportunity, one that I think really does deserve your attention. And there's a website that you can go to get all of the details on this opportunity. It's called foreclosurecleaning.us. Now, maybe you want to do this just part-time, maybe just on the weekends or in the evenings. It's an opportunity that is very unique, and with everything that's happening in the economy today, it's something that's actually growing and expanding while many other things are drying up and withering. It's a unique opportunity, one that I think will give you a chance to maybe become self-employed, get out of the rat race, an opportunity to get into a whole new line of work, and it doesn't take very much money at all to start a business like this, and it doesn't take very much training. After all, you're just doing basic cleaning. To find out more about the exploding foreclosure cleaning business, check out the website foreclosurecleaning.us. That's foreclosurecleaning.us. Hi, this is Jim Paris, and I want to share with you something really unique that I ran across recently. It's an idea that I think would be very, very interesting to many of our listeners. How would you like to get paid to travel internationally and actually live in a foreign country for maybe a year or even longer? It's a unique opportunity, and it doesn't take a lot to get involved in this. The opportunity is that of teaching English as a foreign language. Now, I'm going to give you a website here that you can go to get more information on this. It's called makemoneyteaching.us. That's makemoneyteaching.us. teaching.us. Now, at the website, you're going to learn all about a unique opportunity where you can become certified to teach English as a foreign language. Now, you don't have to go back to college, and it won't take you years to get this certification. In just a matter of a few weeks, you can become certified to teach English as a foreign language. There are organizations that will actually pay you and actually pay your transportation costs as well to bring you into a foreign country. And you might live there for a year or longer. Many of the arrangements even include paid housing. Now, if you're someone that doesn't want to travel internationally, you can also take this same training and use this credential to teach right here in the United States or even over the internet using Skype. Take a couple of minutes today and check this out. It's definitely a very interesting opportunity that I think deserves your attention. Again, the website is makemoneyteaching.us. That's makemoneyteaching.us. Okay, we are back. My name is Jim Paris, and you're listening to Jim Paris Live. Tonight, my guest is Dr. Ron Rhodes, and you can talk about, bring up any question you want on the Bible. However, we've sort of themed tonight on Bible prophecy. So if you've got a Bible prophecy question, you'd like to call in with that, 888-287-3316. 888-287-3316 is the phone number to dial. If you call in, you go right to the head of the line. So you can call right now, 888-287-3316. You'll go right to the head of the line. Otherwise, we are going to email questions. Jim@christianmoney.com is the email address. Jim@christianmoney.com. Before we go back to Dr. Ron, I want to mention to you a huge controversy going on this week at my website, christianmoney.com, in specifically over at my blog, which is blog.christianmoney.com. There is a, what I believe, a very questionable investment opportunity that Christians are apparently pouring millions of dollars into. And it's called Profitable Sunrise. And I'm just amazed at how big a deal this is. But I wrote an article on it this week. It included me calling England. I've got recordings of my phone calls to Birmingham, England. It's all up there. And if you haven't seen the article, you're going to be shocked by it. If you're someone that's already invested in this Profitable Sunrise, read the article. Pass this around on social media so that your friends know about this as well. I've got huge, huge questions about this, deep concerns about it. We're not officially calling it a Ponzi scheme, but I'm getting pretty close to being able to consider it that. Certainly very, very questionable. And in fact, when I appeared on Moody Radio this last week and I broke the story about what's happening with Profitable Sunrise, I actually was contacted that afternoon by a federal investigator that wanted some of my investigative notes on what I knew about the situation, which I gladly provided to them. So this is sort of a developing story, and I think you'll find a little bit humorous the recorded phone call that I made to the offices, the supposed offices of this organization on Friday morning. I called England and let them know, full and fair disclosure, they were on a recorded phone line, and you'll be shocked to hear the kind of answers that I got when asking what I think were pretty basic, fair questions. Check it out over at my blog, blog.christianmoney.com, blog.christianmoney.com. All right, we're going to go back to Dr. Ron Rhodes with some more questions that are coming in by email. Email questions, jim@christianmoney.com, jim@christianmoney.com. All right, the first question here is about this meteor last week, and I thought this was weird that supposedly there was this giant meteor 17,000 miles above the Earth, but then preceding this, there was this meteor that actually hit the Earth in Russia and supposedly had the impact of like, you know, an atomic bomb hitting in certain parts of Russia. Someone writes this question. They want to know, is there any biblical significance prophecy-wise regarding this meteor? And they also put in parentheses, wormwood. Is wormwood possibly an actual meteor that falls from the sky and contaminates the Earth's water supply?
Well, there's no question in my mind about it. Revelation 8, verses 10 through 12 talks about wormwood. And it's my personal opinion, Jim, that this star, as it's called, will in fact be a case of near extinction level deep impact of a large meteor or an asteroid striking the Earth. And it has the appearance of a star because it bursts into flames as it enters the atmosphere. And all the debris that falls from that fiery trail ends up in the water where it poisons the water itself. And it's interesting because according to the book of Revelation, after this occurs, the sunlight's going to be reduced and the moon is going to darken. Scientists will tell you that after a deep impact, it's going to kick an awful lot of dust up into the atmosphere for a long time, thereby blocking the light. And so right now, as you and I speak, there is a large body with a trajectory of planet Earth. Our scientists are not aware of it yet. They haven't spotted it yet. It's not going to strike until the future tribulation period. But it will strike, and when it does strike, it will probably be at a minimum velocity of about 130,000 miles per hour. And so it's going to wreak tremendous damage on an apocalyptic magnitude during the future tribulation period.
Scary stuff. Sounds like something right out of a movie. And, you know, the one thing, too, about this this meteor hitting in Russia, I think we're yeah, maybe it's just me, but it seems like we're starting to see more of these kinds of big events like this, you know, tsunamis and earthquakes and weather events. Is it just because of the internet that we're noticing this more, or do you feel that we really are seeing somewhat of a quickening here with all of these things happening?
Well, there could be a quickening. It's been well said that prophecies tend to cast their shadows before them. Prophecies tend to cast their shadows before them. And so we're seeing like an increase of, phenomena in the sky. We're seeing stuff in terms of earthquakes and, you know, tsunamis and all kinds of natural phenomena. This kind of stuff is going to go into high gear during the future tribulation period, according to Jesus and his Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24. But I think that what we're experiencing right now is what you might call foreshocks. We're kind of experiencing the first wave of some of this stuff. But what we're seeing right now is nothing compared to what will be in the tribulation period. As bad as that was in Russia just the other day, that's nothing compared to wormwood. When wormwood hits, it's going to be catastrophic.
Wow. Scary stuff. That gives me chills to hear you saying that.
Well, it is, and I'm not a sensational person. I'm not a sensationalistic person.
But, you know, they were talking about the what-if scenarios of that big one that passed us by that didn't hit us and what that would have done if it actually did hit us. And I think one scientist said something like the equivalent of like 30 atomic bombs hitting at the same time, wherever the impact was.
You know, this is something of real concern to our own government. In fact, there have been reports to our Congress and high-up officials, very official scientific reports, which deal with high impact of a meteor into planet Earth and what steps to take, what kinds of things we'll have to do if that does happen. And if you go to Google and just start Googling the topic, or go to Amazon.com and Google, you know, do the search engine on that, you'll see that there's all kinds of scientists publishing books on this thing, on this reality. And what the scientists are saying is that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's going to happen, they say.
Wow, very, very interesting. Our guest tonight is Dr. Ron Rhodes. If you want to get more information on his organization, Ron, what is your website?
People can go to ronrhodes.org. That's ronrhodes.org, and we've got all our books there and a lot of free stuff you can download, free
and
newsletter.
My wife said to tell you that she always enjoyed you for years on the Bible Answer Man.
Oh,
and
yes.
She wanted to know, do you still make any appearances on the Bible Answer Man?
Well, it's been a while since I've done the Bible Answer Man. I generally do quite a bit of national radio throughout the year as well as television. I did the Bible Answer Man from 1988 until about 1995. So I did several thousand Bible Answer Man shows. I literally got drafted to do that show, by the way. You know, I was actually working in the publications department, but I was the only guy at CRI who had a doctoral degree. And so when Walter died, you know, Walter Martin, I literally got drafted. And I initially didn't want to do it because who wants to go on the radio and get asked hard questions every day?
Now,
but
this
I enjoyed it after a while.
Well, this will date me a little bit, but the last time I was a regular listener of the Bible Answer Man, only because I don't think where I live now we actually have an affiliate, but it was back in the day when Hank Hanegraaff was literally daily going after Benny Hinn. And he also had that new book that had just come out about Christianity and a lot of the false teaching within Christianity.
That's when Benny Hinn was he was talking about shooting us with a Holy Ghost machine gun.
That's right. Yeah, and I remember seeing Hank at one of the conventions, one of the writers' conventions, the publishers' conventions, right after his new book came out, and he was actually kind of in fear for his physical safety for a while there. I mean, I'm laughing about it now, but he was actually going through a time where there were a lot of physical threats coming in against him as well.
And you know, whenever you're doing any kind of apologetics, I mean, that's the risk that you run. I've had my life threatened a number of times. It goes with the turf, and all I can say is that I'm invulnerable. I'm virtually invulnerable until God's day for me. God is the one who sovereignly determines how long I'm going to live on this earth, and nothing can touch me until that time. And so that's kind of the attitude that you have to have on some of this, because people will threaten your life if you're involved in apologetics, like I am and like Hank is.
Yeah, very, very, very interesting how it can get to that point, but it certainly does. All right, someone wants to ask about this incident that happened. I don't know if you saw this in the news. I saw it. I was surprised how little attention that it got. Apparently, there were two Russian fighter jets that approached the U.S. territory of Guam this past week. They were violating the airspace, and it turns out that U.S. fighter jets were scrambled to intercept them, and this literally almost became an incident. And a lot of people want to know, this person wants to know, what Russia's role will be in Bible prophecy. And do you think this was just the Russians, as they do every so often, sort of flexing their muscles? Or do you think the Russians are, sort of building up towards something here? I know they've got an involvement in Syria on the other side of the table from us. Where do you see things with Russia today and how Russia might play in Bible prophecy down the road?
Well, there's no question in my mind that Russia will play a role. In fact, if you look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, we read about a massive invasion, including nations like Iran, Sudan, Turkey, Libya, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, and all those other Stan nations, in conjunction with Russia. And these nations will launch a massive invasion into Israel. And the precedent's already been set, by the way. You might remember that back during, Nixon's day, it was the Russians who were actually providing the weaponry as well as the intelligence when, there was this invasion into Israel by some of the Muslim nations. And so Russia and the Muslim nations have already worked together against Israel. But there's going to be an even bigger battle, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, and it's going to be a massive attack involving all these Muslim nations with the military muscle of Russia. Now, here's the thing. Already today, Russia is an ally of nations like Iran and even Syria that you mentioned. They've already got military alliances, and not just military, but also nuclear alliances. And I'm sure you're aware, Jim, that the nuclear reactors not just being built in Iran, but of course the evidence now shows that a nuclear reactor is being built in northern Syria. And so this is something that could get bad real quick, especially with the involvement of Hezbollah, which has a very close relationship with Syria. And so I'm kind of frightened about what's going on there, the combination of Russia with all of these Muslim nations, and there is poor little Israel right there in the middle of all of it. Of course, it's exactly what prophecy has told us. I mean, the prophecies tell us that Israel will be a sore spot in the end times, and that these multiple Muslim nations will rise up against Israel. But the promise is that God will be the protector of Israel, and this invasion will not succeed.
And that's in your book, Northern Storm Rising, by the way.
That's right.
I really, really love this book, Northern Storm Rising. If you're interested in the Ezekiel 38 war, you've got to read this book, Northern Storm Rising. And Dr. Ron, not to ruin the end of the book, because if people have already read the Bible, they would know the end of the story. But isn't it an earthquake or a big natural event that actually turns out to end that confrontation between the countries and Israel?
Well, that's certainly part of it. There's going to be a massive earthquake, but there's also going to be, as a result of that earthquake, many injuries, and you're going to have dead bodies laying around everywhere, which means disease is going to pick up on a massive scale. But God also says that friendly fire is going to break out. You got to keep in mind that these various nations that I just mentioned to you all have different languages. When you're talking about Iran and Sudan and Kazakhstan and Libya, these people have different languages, and I think that God is going to cause them to, you know, suspect a double cross right in the middle of this invasion, because they start shooting each other dead right in the middle of it.
Wow.
And so it's not just the earthquake, but it's going to be this issue of friendly fire. And then God also talks about, in that same context, about how fire is going to fall down upon these individuals. Now, God can make fire fall down just by the wave of his, you know, metaphorical hand, as it were. But God could also fulfill that through nuclear technology. You know, and it's really interesting when you look at some of the biblical descriptions of what takes place during the tribulation period, because it says that all the grass of the earth will be burned, a third of the trees will be burned, a third of the vegetation will be burned, and people will break out with loathsome sores on their skin. That sounds very nuclear.
It really does.
It really does. And so there's the possibility that some of those prophecies could actually be fulfilled as a result of nuclear detonations. Now, that's what makes it scary when you think about Iran and Syria and some of these other Muslim nations attaining nuclear capabilities.
Now, somebody wants to know here, and by the way, if you want to, this is your last chance, we're running out of time. If you want to get in with a question on the air, we'll put you right to the head of the line, 888-287-3316, 888-287-3316. Otherwise, we'll keep doing email questions here. The next question is about Syria, and they want to ask you about Damascus in Isaiah 17 and all of the things that are happening right now with regards to Syria. Could we be getting very close to a fulfillment of Isaiah 17?
Well, I think that Syria probably has more to do with Ezekiel 38 and 39, because in that passage in Ezekiel, it not only involves the nations that I just mentioned to you a moment ago, such as Libya and Kazakhstan and Iran and Sudan and all of that, but it also says, and many peoples with you. That includes a bunch of other Muslims that will join in this attack. And so I think that that's probably one of the verses that applies to Syria. Isaiah 17 is actually a passage of some dispute, because the text does talk about the destruction of Damascus. But if you keep reading, that verse also continues to talk about the destruction of Israel. So the question is Israel going to be destroyed in the future, or is Isaiah 17 a reference to the destruction of Damascus and Israel that took place in the historical past? Because we know that that did take place in the past. So, Jim, my point is that prophecy guys, they're debating this back and forth right now. And my advice is to study the issue and just to see where you come down on it. But the big problem for interpreting that as yet future is that that same context, that same passage, talks about the destruction of Israel along with the destruction of Damascus, which leads me to believe that it probably doesn't refer to the future, because the future of Israel is a good future. God is going to rescue Israel in the future.
All right. Now, this next question, I'm going to rephrase it, because I think we have to be reasonable when we have these discussions. Somebody's basically wanting to just ask flat out, is Obama or could President Obama be the Antichrist? But I'm going to rephrase this question so we're on a little bit more solid ground. My wife and I have had this conversation, Ron, that there's something about Barack Obama, and I'm not suggesting he is the Antichrist, but what I'm saying is that when you look at his history and how he sort of came out of nowhere, becomes the president of the United States, and then despite having such a poor track record in so many different ways that you can measure, you know, a president's success, seems to have this charisma that people are willing to just disregard his track record. And like I said, coming out of nowhere, I've said it to my wife this way. I've said, I'm not saying that the president of the United States is the Antichrist, but what I'm saying is that when you see how charisma can take you so far so fast, and you see how people are really today open to following charismatic leaders, to me it sort of does set the stage for a charismatic person the Antichrist to appear on the scene, and people seem to be ready to follow charismatic people today more than ever before, really, in my lifetime.
Well, I think you're right about that. I personally do not think Barack Obama is the Antichrist, but part of the reason why some people have said that he is the Antichrist is a video that went viral on the internet, which talks about how Jesus allegedly originally spoke Aramaic. And the Aramaic of the verse where Jesus said that he saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky, the actual Aramaic is Barack Obama. And so a lot of people say, hey, you know, Satan, there's a close connection between Satan and Barack Obama. Now, Daniel Wallace, professor of Greek at Dallas Seminary, responded to all of that, and he called it absolute nonsense, that you have to go through all kinds of linguistic, craziness to get there. But here's the thing. You've seen a number of news magazines calling Barack Obama the second coming. You've seen celebrities call, worship him as God. You've seen all this, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I think that that's preparing the stage for the eventual Antichrist, who will actually be of Roman heritage, because Scripture tells us in the book of Daniel that he will come from the same people that destroyed Jerusalem and its temple. It was the Romans who destroyed Jerusalem and its temple, and the Antichrist comes from that people, the Romans. And so I believe it's going to be a Roman, but nevertheless, I think that what we're seeing today with this worship of political leaders and calling them God in the second coming is actually setting the stage for accepting future political leaders as deity.
Yeah, I've even heard the description messianic just in
Messianic, very much so.
Even Barack Obama, in fairness too to this email question, he said some things that make you wonder about what he thinks about himself. I remember one comment that he made about stopping the waters from rising, and he almost seems to portray himself in this way, in a messianic way. And that's a little bit, maybe reading between the lines, but he appears to be really the first president that sort of looks at himself that way, that I remember in my lifetime anyway.
Well, I think the thing that's more concerned to me is that with the present administration, it seems to me that we have taken some steps away from national sovereignty, more towards being open to a globalist agenda. And that's the thing that I think that has gotten my attention the most in terms of, setting the stage for the future, because a globalist agenda fits right in with the fact that there will be a one-world government and one-world economy during the future tribulation period. And so if you have a present administration that's taking steps, backing away from some of the steps that are more favorable towards a globalist agenda with all these, G meetings that take place in Europe, and at the same time being much more pro-Palestinian and not anti-Israel, but not as friendly toward Israel as presidents in the past, that does seem to be setting the stage for what will take place in the future, because when Israel is attacked by these Muslim nations, Israel will stand alone. Not a single nation will come to the rescue, and that means not even the United States will try to come to the rescue.
And when we see what's happening with this current appointment to the Defense Department and what's happening there with the Hagel appointment, that's really bringing this issue up again. One last quick question. We've only got like a minute left, but somebody wanted to know if there was one book, home study course, online training they could go through to just get a good overview on Bible prophecy. What would you recommend to someone who wanted to just get a good overview training on Bible prophecy?
Well, that's really the exact reason I wrote The End Times in Chronological Order that has come out and published by Harvest House. Certainly there are other good books out there. I've got a good friend by the name of Mark Hitchcock. I'm sure you're aware of him.
Oh, yeah.
Mark has written a book called The End, and that's a very good book as well. Certainly you've got some of the older guys like John F. Wolvert and Dwight Pentecost. All those guys have written books that have overviews of biblical prophecy. But probably two of the most recent ones are the books The End by Mark Hitchcock and my book called The End Times in Chronological Order. Both of them are written for people who don't have seminary degrees. This is for people who just want to understand Bible prophecy from A to Z.
And your website is ronrhodes.org, is that right?
That's correct, ronrhodes.org.
Yeah, R-H-O-D-E-S, folks. Remember, R-H-O-D-E-S, ronrhodes.org. Dr. Ron Rhodes, thank you so much for joining us in Jim Paris Live.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right, sir. We'll talk to you next time.
Very good.
All right, guys, thank you so much for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday night, 9 o'clock Eastern. It's Jim Paris. Live. This is Jim Paris here, as always, to help you make the most of God's money. Talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Jim Paris Live. For more information about our program, visit ChristianMoney.com or send an email to jim@ChristianMoney.com. Join us next week for another live program.